And right now, time to bring in Arthur Schwartz, the food maven. Arthur joins us on a Monday morning. We talk about food, food, food. And today, I guess we'll talk about food.
Just peaches and some nectarines.
Oh.
Truth be told, I prefer nectarines to peaches. But when you get a good peach, there's nothing like it. So I had some. I may have mentioned this even last week. My neighbor scored some absolutely fabulous Freestone peaches from, I don't know which Carolina. I always get them confused. You know, I'm from Brooklyn. It's the center of the world here. It might as well be China. By the way, peaches are from China. It's sort of everything is from China. If somebody says, oh, do you know where this or that came from? You're safe to say China. And if not China, South America. Anyway, nectarines, I learned some years ago, but I don't believe this at all, are simply peaches without the fuzz. They taste different, don't they?
Yes, they do.
I have to say I have more success buying nectarines than I do peaches, which I find very problematic these days. And anyway, these great peaches that my next-door neighbor found were perfect for a dessert that I used to make all the time but have not made in years. And it's a peach crostata. The recipe is in Soup Suppers, which by the way is my best-selling cookbook. And Jill Goodman's always telling me she made this, that, or the other thing from Soup Suppers. I looked at the recipe to refresh my memory, and I discovered that that book, which is basically main course soups, also has a good chapter on desserts. Simple things I used to make all the time. You know, as I said a few weeks ago, it's like visiting old friends, looking at these recipes I haven't made in a long time. But this was one of my favorites ever in my life, desserts anyway, because it made me so popular on Fire Island. I used to bake this at least once a day, if not twice a day, when I shared a house with some friends on Fire Island. It became the beach crostata, not the peach crostata, because I made it at the beach. Anyway, I made it in Brooklyn the other day. I went close to the beach, but not on the water. And I'm very, very gratified to say that I followed my own recipe to the letter, and it came out perfect. Except they weren't the great peaches I had last week. The whole deal here is to find the great peaches. Even though you sweeten them up quite a lot when you bake them into this crostata, I guess I should give the recipe once again. It's very easy. It's got a cookie crust that you just press into the pan. And the crust is 2 cups of flour, 1/4 cup of sugar. You see, not very sweet, but buttery. 4 ounces, a whole stick of butter. And I'm not sure it's in the book even, but I always add salt. I'm sure I put in a big pinch of salt. And I cut the butter, cold butter, into the flour, sugar, salt, and until it looked like meal, coarse meal. Take those crumbs, that meal, and pour it into a 10-inch deep pie dish. I have been using, I realized the other day, the same dish for this for nearly 50 years. It's an old Pyrex dish, and I served. It's a dish somebody's going to have. I'm not sure if they still sell it. They may. It's a deep dish, pie dish, with a crimped edge. I mean, the glass is crimped at the edge. So you can serve something in it, and it looks good enough. And I do find that Pyrex is a very good heat conductor and makes for a very nice crisp crust. So you pour in your crumbs. Don't have to butter the dish or anything because this crust is a lot of butter. And you pour in the crumbs and you press it into the bottom and up the sides of a 10-inch deep dish, pan, whatever pan you use. Should be round. slope-sided, a pie dish. Anyway, if you have a tart pan, perhaps it'll be big enough. A 10-inch, like, porcelain tart pan could be good enough. It's a lot. The amount of filling I'm going to give you fits perfectly into my 10-inch deep Pyrex. Anyway, you press this crust in as evenly as you possibly can, making sure the corners are well filled, and you can press the top down so that you have nice edge on the from the sides coming up, and then. You need to have, I used 4 medium peaches for the one that I made this week, and you have to blanch them, meaning bring a pot of water to the boil, put your peaches in, count 1 minute, fetch them out with a slotted spoon, let them cool a couple of minutes so you can handle them, and then the skins should peel right off. Now, here's the part where you need the Freestone peach, because and by the way, all peaches are either Freestone, one word, or cling. Do we remember this? Cling peaches in a can? I'm sure they're still
selling. Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Loved them, didn't we? But the cling peaches are not so good for this, because a cling peach means the pit clings to the flesh, and you can't get a neat half of a peach. When you have a cling peach, you have to slice the peach off the pit any which way you want, really. But it's not a good presentation for this particular recipe. I mean, there are other things you can do with them. I'll get to that. But for this particular recipe, see if you can find a Freestone peach. There's no way to know that I know of unless they're labeling them in the store. I have seen that. It'll say Freestone peaches. I don't know. I just bought Jersey peaches. I have never been impressed with New Jersey peaches, but that's what Ellen brought me. She went back to buy the same peaches that her store had last week, but they didn't have those. So she brought me what, and they weren't ripe. So I had to let them sit for 2 days before they were usable or edible. So I she had 6 altogether. I sacrificed 1, and it was Freestone, so I was thrilled. And what's interesting is that, or funny, ironic, is that the other 5 I blanched, and 4 of them, the first 4 that I handled were Freestone, so I ended up with 8 halves. But the 5th one, that was the last one I went to peel, peeled fine enough, was not Freestone, so maybe they're not consistent. By the way, this recipe is perfect with nectarines, too, and nectarines can run a little bigger. You know, you have to judge how many you need by the size of your pan, and like I said, my pan held 8 medium halves. I've made this with larger peaches, where I've only gotten like 4, you know, two larger peaches. Whatever it is, put them in the pan, hump side up, round side up, and sprinkle them. It's more than sprinkle, because it's quite a lot. Pour on 3/4 cup of sugar. Now, if your peaches are not quite sweet enough, this will do the job. Put this in a 400-degree oven for 15 minutes. At which point, your peaches will have created quite a lot of syrup in the pan, and you can, I have to look this up, believe it or not. And while it's baking in those 15 minutes, you're going to stir together 2 whole eggs, and 1 cup of dairy product. I say dairy product, I used heavy cream. The original recipe had heavy cream, I remember, even from 50 years ago. And I, over the years, used yogurt or what else? Mainly the other alternative would be yogurt. So sour cream, you're basically going to form a custard. So after 15 minutes, you take this peaches in the crust out. You'll see the crust is already starting to get a little golden at the edges in 15 minutes at 400 degrees. And then you pour on the mixture of cream and eggs. It'll find its own way. You don't have to be too precise about where you pour it. It's going to come up to almost the very, very tops of the peaches, and you put it back in the oven for another 20 minutes. Got to say, I was very proud that make it 30 minutes. Did I say 20? 30 minutes. And I'm very proud that this recipe worked as perfectly as it did. I always say the only misinformation I get on the internet is the wrong oven temperature or pan size. But this had the right oven temperature and the right pan size. And, if you don't have a Freestone nectarine or peach, I would definitely try this with thick slices of peach and fill the bottom of the pan well with peaches, the same number. If they're medium peaches, 4. If they're larger, big ones, 3 or 4, the most. And bake that for 15 minutes. Your peaches may end up a little softer, I think, but that's not a bad thing either. Anyway, you do not need to top this with anything, but I must tell you that this is best eaten the day that it's made. So you can make it in the morning and eat it at night. And if you have to, keep it one more day. Just cover it with some plastic or even just a plate on top of the pie pan. But don't refrigerate it. So to say that we devoured this would be an understatement. We invited our neighbor in to share it with us, expecting we'd probably eat half the thing. In the end, we ate way more than half. And in fact, I had to instruct everybody to please leave a slice to Stephen, who deserved a slice. So, I got a stomachache. But it did go well down as it was going down. Peaches are, this is the season, even though they start early from the south. I guess Georgia peaches are in April and May. These New Jersey peaches just came into season right now. I know we have peach orchards in the northwest corner, but I'm not sure exactly when they're going to be harvested. Do you? Yeah, I don't know about local peaches, but I don't think peaches need to be local. Fact is, a lot of things don't need to be local. You don't have to wait until... I just bought some... I buy peppers from... red peppers from Mexico all the time. And I just bought some red peppers from Mexico, and I have to say, they're much better in July than they are in February. But still, the ones in February, as I've... I'm using a lot these days, scratch the itch, if you know what I mean. So peaches are really scratching my itch. By the way, peaches are not hideously high in carbohydrates, so even if you're on a low-carbohydrate diet, you can have a peach or two a day, and it won't kill you. Or nectarine, for that matter, it won't kill you. I can't imagine passing up this season. And with so many things you could do. Now, if the peaches or the nectarines are not so sweet, you can always sugar them. Or, as Italians do, put them in a glass of red wine. Let them sit there for a while. Slice a peach into a glass of red wine. Let it sit there all afternoon, and then you can have it for dessert. You can just sugar them. Just put sugar on them. And here's something I made this week that I would do with peaches and may well. I don't know what got into me, but I had to make a Dutch baby. Have you ever made a Dutch baby? I bet you have, Marshall.
No.
It's like a Yorkshire pudding. It's a puffy pancake. And I'm not sure why it's called a Dutch baby. I tried to find out, but nobody seems to know why it's called Dutch. I wouldn't be surprised if it wasn't Dutch, if it was German. But anyway, it's a simple batter. The one that I make is 3 eggs, preferably at room temperature, but if you want to make this at the last minute, don't worry if they're not. 3 eggs into which you whisk a half a cup of milk, a half a cup of flour, say, if you're doing peaches, a tablespoon of sugar, and I always put salt in everything, so a quarter teaspoon of salt. Whisk this all together until there are no lumps. You might see a dot or two of flour. Let it sit for a while. That's always, if you're doing this with a whisk, it's always best, after it's all mixed, let it sit for a few minutes, then whisk it again, and any little lumps will usually dissolve. And if you have a couple of little lumps, it's not a terrible thing either. So you, what I do this in is a Dutch baby, is a 10-inch cast iron skillet. This is like the pan that I use more often than anything these days. I grill meat in it, don't ask. Dutch baby, perfect. I put the cast iron skillet pan into a 425 degree oven, let it heat up for 5 or 10 minutes, take it out, put in 4 tablespoons of butter, put it back in the oven until the butter is melted and even bubbling a bit, but don't let it burn. It can burn very quickly. So it really only takes a couple of minutes for the butter to melt. Take the pan out again, pour in your batter, put it back in the oven, and bake it for 20 minutes. At the end of 20 minutes, it should be very well puffed up and even browned a bit. I just turn off the oven at that point and let it cook a little bit longer in the turned-off oven. 3 or 4 minutes is all you need. It depends on how moist you want this pancake to be. I don't really want it to be rubbery, so I let it stay in there to dry out a little bit. And that's it. That's enough for this pancake, 3 eggs, half cup of milk, half cup flour, tablespoon of sugar, big pinch of salt, quarter teaspoon, whatever, is enough for 2 people. Take this out of the oven and immediately put on some sliced peaches that have been sprinkled with a little sugar. You can use, I happen to like confectioner's sugar because it dissolves instantly. I've stopped buying instant dissolving sugar because Domino and every other company that you can get it from charges an insane amount compared to their regular price. Do you know that sugar doesn't come in 5-pound bags anymore?
I know.
It's 4-pound bags.
Yeah.
So they haven't raised the price, but they've reduced the amount by 20%. Anyway, so you put on your macerated peaches. If you want to throw a few splashes of a liqueur on that, it makes a great dessert. A lot of things you can do with the Dutch baby. You can make it savory, too. You can put cheese on top. If it's a melty cheese, you can, after the 20 minutes of baking, put on the melty cheese and then stick it back in the turned-off oven for a couple minutes until the melty cheese melts. All right. Now I'm hungry, except my stomach issues are cropping up. I have a stomach problem. I had to think about food before I talked about it today, too. So, anyway, I think today is going to be a cold beverage day without ice. My Chinese health consultant tells me that when you have a bad stomach, even when you don't have a bad stomach, you should not drink iced drinks. Actually, room temperature, she suggests, but my room temperature is a little too warm today. So I think I will have it out of the refrigerator at least.
It's going to be. Just remember, it's going to be this way all week.
Raining? It's raining here. Oh. Get more humid than it is right now here. Week, I think it was, I talked about cold pasta. So it got me on a, you know, I talk about these things and then it puts me on a kick. I don't know who I was talking to about Dutch babies, but for some reason I couldn't get it out of my head. And this week it was cold pasta. I haven't made it, but I found a whole cache of cold pasta recipes in my files while doing a search for something else. And one in particular, I just am dying to make, but I have to wait till my belly is better. Because it's from a friend of mine. It's interesting. It's from a friend of mine who does not cook. I'm sure she has never cooked anything in her life. She's very rich. She's always had servants. And her husband likes to cook. And they have a magnificent kitchen. And I've actually eaten his food, which he loves to eat in the kitchen, which she doesn't usually like to do. But this is a recipe she gave to her cook. And they make it, and I ate it. And the secret ingredient is something very funny. Powdered mustard. By the way, this is a Neapolitan friend. She's very Neapolitan. And this is a very Neapolitan sort of recipe, except that it has two things I don't get. Looking at it, it had green pepper. I don't know anybody who uses green pepper in Naples. It's always a color, meaning it's a ripe pepper, not an unripe pepper. With green peppers and unripe peppers. And it also has, at the very end, powdered mustard. Now, one of these days I have to ask her, now that I'm re-aware of this, how did the powdered mustard get into this? And my feeling is Mirella and her family lived in England for a period, and I wonder if this didn't get into the recipe, like some English neighbor said, oh, this would be really good if you put some mustard in it. And so it's the very end. It's got oil and vinegar, and it's a salad. In fact, she calls it spaghetti salad. Got a lot of chopped vegetables, olives, peppers, hot peppers. Mirella can't eat anything without a hot pepper. So this is hot peppers. And at the very end, you sprinkle on and toss in quite a bit. I think it's 2 teaspoons for 1 pound of spaghetti. 2 teaspoons of Coleman's mustard.
Chinese mustard?
Oh, yes.
And that was unbelievable.
I love that.
Oh, it was unbelievable.
Well, apparently, this is funny you should mention, there is apparently either the cost of Chinese mustard or the scarcity of Chinese mustard is in my Chinese takeout places. If you want mustard, you got to ask for it. Whereas they just toss in soy sauce that I don't need and duck sauce, which I hate. It's just syrup after all. But no mustard, so I have to request the mustard. I should look into that. But you know, you can always make your own Chinese mustard.
Yeah, my father used to buy the cans. They had a little round top that you opened up. You had it pop off.
Oh, yeah. I remember those. And well, thanks for the memory. Mustard is, well, whatever. I happen to love mustard, and I was watching something the other day, or just passing by something, where this person, must have been one of the Food Networks, said something about how many mustards they have. And I thought, you know, I bet you I have more. And sure enough, I have like 8 kinds of mustard in the pantry.
You know, my father was great for trying things. We were kids and we went to a real authentic Chinese restaurant. He would always make us wrap up the meal with kumquats.
Really?
Kumquats is dessert, yep.
Well, I love kumquats. You mean kumquats or lychees?
Lychees?
Well, kumquats, I love kumquats, but they're usually expensive. They're very, very expensive.
And he never would let us order just regular Chinese food. He would order things that, you know, wasn't chicken chow mein and stuff like that. It wasn't
prepared, you know. He was adventurous.
Yes, he was.
All right. Well, one of these days you'll tell me. What settles my stomach is ginger tea, and I buy it from a very good company. It's very curative, and the company is called Traditional Medicinals. You can buy it. I buy it online. And it's the plain, you know what? Because it's very hard to find plain ginger tea. They always have lemon, lemongrass, or something that isn't ginger, included with the ginger. So I like this tea, and I do find it's very curative.
My mother used to have ginger in her house all the time.
Yeah, I usually have ginger in the house. Mm. In fact, you can make wonderful ginger tea. You just slice up some fresh ginger and put it in a mug and pour over some hot water. That works, too. But ginger tea lasts longer than fresh ginger, even though I always have fresh ginger around.
Oh, if you left it up to me, I'd have my ginger with ginger snap cookies.
Well, I'm not sure that would be curative.
I don't think so.
What got me into this mess is eating too much peach crostata. My body is not used to having so much sugar. I'm sure that's part of it. And then I could also blame a new medication. But whichever way, I'm not going off the medication, but I am going off of peach crostata. I think maybe one season is enough.
Okay. All right, I'll speak to you next week. Feel better.
Take care, everyone.
Bye-bye. Arthur Schwartz, the food maven, this morning here on The Breakfast Club on Robin Hood Radio. And, of course, you can hear Arthur on demand here at Robin Hood Radio, robinhoodradio.com. Click on demand. Click on Arthur Schwartz, the food maven. Every single, well, I would say 99.9% of Arthur's shows are cataloged there, so you can peruse for them. Arthur Schwartz, the food maven, robinhoodradio.com. Click on Arthur Schwartz, the food maven.